Welcome to Christ the Center, your weekly conversation of Reformed theology. My name is Camden Busey. I'm the pastor of Hope OPC in Grays Lake, Illinois, and we're back in Wheaton, Illinois at Bethel OPC for another wonderful conversation about theology and ministry within the Reformed tradition. Let me start introducing everybody today. We've got a bunch of folks here with us. We have Bob Tarullo, the pastor of Westminster OPC in Indian Head Park, Illinois. Welcome back, Bob.
Thanks, Camden. It's great to be here.
We still have with us Charles Williams, who spoke with us last episode on Augustine, not Augustine, even though we say Constantine and not Constantin. So I'm all sorts of confused.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, let's call the whole thing off. Charles is associate pastor here at Bethel OP in Wheaton. Welcome back, Charles.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. We also have his partner in ministry here, Craig Troxell, who is the pastor here at Bethel OP. Welcome back, Craig.
Thank you, Camden.
Thanks both of you for having us and opening your doors to us so we can come and discuss these matters. We now have a new augment in the feature attraction for this episode. The main man we have with us, Brett Malin, who serves as associate pastor of a Covenant OPC in Orland Park, Illinois, with a mission to Stateville Prison, and he also serves as professor at Divine Hope Bible Seminary. He's an old friend of mine. Welcome back, Brett. It's good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
We've got at least a kind of a weird triumvirate Calvary OPC connection going on, I suppose. But you were technically, I guess I wasn't a member of Calvary when you were still the pastor, but you were my somewhat pastor for 3 weeks.
That's right. Very brief.
And then Brett, of course, is a member at Calvary OP. And he was an associate. You were overseen by the session.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. My wife was there as
your
a
wife,
member.
Mary Ann. And that's where you met her, right? And at the seminary.
Yes.
Yeah. And Brett and I used to work together.
Yes.
We were security guards.
Good times.
Man.
Very good times.
We had a lot of good conversations. I remember talking to you, and you were discussing the great opportunity that you had to come out as a year-long intern at Orland Park. We had a conversation out by the carport over that. It was a good time.
Yeah.
So now it's great to be back close to you again, that you're back with us and doing some really important things. There's a special article in the OPC's magazine, New Horizons, the May 2017 edition, page 14, titled OPC Ministry Behind Bars. It's written by Brett, and he's been ministering in prison, not because he's locked up. Hope that doesn't happen. We were talking about Augustine and all the persecution of the church, and there was a time where that was much more common. And Paul himself obviously wrote a good portion of the New Testament while in prison. But Brett has been called to carry out an important mission to prisoners in Stateville Correctional Center, the Stateville Prison here in Illinois, in Joliet. And we're going to be talking about that today. But before we do so, I got a couple things to mention, some housekeeping. Once again, as I like to do at the beginning of most of our episodes, point you to our website, reformedforum.org. There you'll find information about all of our programs. You can also get in touch with us there. And you can also support us visiting our donate page. But today I want to point you to our archives. And we have a lot of good friends here today who have been on a lot of episodes in the past. And our archives are online and available. All of them. And we have over 1,000 episodes now on the website. Close to 500 of Christ the Center, and then several, almost 500 of other things. It's a wide variety of materials, and we've done our best to try to categorize things and make them searchable. So dig around in the archives. I'm sure you'll find some things that are interesting and useful for you. And if you've listened to most all of that, then that's impressive. You know, send us a note and maybe we'll send you something as a thank you for being with us for over 9 years. But all of that's online at reformedforum.org. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank them all, you all, for your support of everything we do here at Reformed Forum and this program, Christ the Center. So, Brett, why don't we talk a little bit about your experience at the church and also your experience at Stateville Prison before we actually talk about the prison and describe it. How did you come to Orland Park in the first place, and how'd you end up over at Stateville?
Thank you. As you said, I was the intern at Covenant OPC in Orland Park. I came from Westminster, where we were, and I was green as can be, as many of us are, after you finish. And I was excited to learn the work of ministry. And so I became the intern there in the summer of 2009.
Is that long ago?
It was that long ago, yes.
Man.
So I was doing the things that an intern does, and preaching and teaching and everything else, doing house visitations. Mm-hmm. One of the things that that church has and had at that time was a ministry to Stateville Prison. There were a couple of laymen who were zealous to get the gospel out, and they would go a couple times a month, and they would enter into the prison, and then they would hand out table talk and other Reformed literature.
Really?
And they would teach a Bible study, third and fifth Saturdays of the month. Mm-hmm. And then being an intern and having a mentor pastor, Pastor Ian Wright, he gave me opportunities to preach whenever I could and whenever he wanted me to. So he pointed me to preaching in there a couple of times. So I was able to preach in the prison a couple of times. And then I went in with those laymen who used to go in, went in with them a number of times to meet the men. At the time, there were three men who were members of Covenant OPC who were in Stateville.
They'd become acquainted with Covenant through the ministry to the prison.
Mm-hmm. to the prison. Both those two laymen and then also the session's involvement with it as well, mm-hmm. and Pastor Ian. So they are men who have committed, in most cases, awful crimes and are paying their debt to the state, to humanity, some would say. But they were converted in prison and came to Reformed convictions in mm-hmm. prison.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And there's nothing prohibiting them from being members of churches. They ought to be. Now, obviously, there's a lot of complications with that because they can't attend worship services like other citizens who are free with regard to the state. And I'm sure we will discuss, you know, the practicality of ministering to prisoners in a few moments. But can you tell us more or less just about the prison? Describe it. I mean, roughly how many inmates are there? What's around it? I mean, what is the general nature of the offenses that are represented? I mean,
It is a maximum security prison with about 1,600 inmates. Mm-hmm. And most of them have been accused of and convicted of murder or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then they are serving life sentences, many of them. Some do have hopes of getting out, but some have a potential release date of many, many, many decades from now.
Mm-hmm. Well, many of them have life sentences, right? I mean,
yeah.
And are any on death row? Or, I mean, if such a thing existed anymore? I mean,
No, there are.
At least in Illinois.
Yeah, there are none on death row. I don't think we do that in Illinois. I'm still catching up
on the laws.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember
there.
All the history because I know that former governors, you know, we've had an illustrious history of governors in Illinois. One of them was George Ryan, who's in prison himself, by the way. I believe he commuted all the death penalties before he was out of office, if I'm not mistaken, which I very well may be. So
I think those 5 years in Philadelphia messed up my state understanding of what we do in Illinois again. I've forgotten. Nevertheless, it's a maximum security prison. It's a very well-known prison. You know, Joliet, this is the worst of the worst.
It's well-known. If you've watched the Blues Brothers, it's actually the prison out of which they escape. In the beginning, it's about the first 15 minutes.
So are there signs? Or it's just like in the movie, like tourist destinations, and so that kind of leads the guys out.
There's no like we had in Philadelphia. This is where Rocky stood. Right. This is where Sylvester
this is
Stallone
how they got
stood.
Out. Everyone just goes there with Jake and Owen.
James Belushi right here.
Yes. None of that.
No. That would be pretty wild. So. You mentioned how two brothers in the Lord, laymen, got involved with prison ministry. Is that something they just approached the prison about, or did they have, how did they even come to the, be able to get involved and get a spot, you know, on the books to come in the third and the fifth Sundays or Saturdays?
Well, one was zealous to do so, I think, right before he became a member of Covenant OPC. And then the other, learning about that, mm-hmm. after he had been a member of Covenant OPC for a brief time, and he just rode that wave and desired to get in as well. So in order to have the visitor pass that I have, you have to do lots of paperwork. Remember, we're dealing with government, and we're dealing with Cook County. So we're dealing with bureaucracy. So lots of paperwork and fingerprints, drug tests, TB test, number of things.
If federal investigators do background checks on you and go talk
checks,
to anyone and everyone?
Yep. Lots of...
They didn't come talk to me.
No.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe. But, I mean, there's a lot to do, and there's... these two men went through that whole process. So they were able to have a volunteer badge, a volunteer status that they were able to go in 7 days a week if they like.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's obviously some practical challenges because you don't have unlimited access to the people and neither can they come to church. What limitations are there? So their pastor is still Reverend Ian Wright at Covenant OP in Orland Park.
Yes.
But he's not able to go in there very frequently. He has limitations on the amount of times he can come minister to his own people, correct?
Every 90 days, yeah.
90 days.
Every 90 days. And the session as well. Only able to come in every 90 days. I mean, there. I suppose that the rest of the session could go through all of that bureaucracy and paperwork and tests and background. But, I mean, they have a pretty good-sized church to to deal with. And shepherd as it
so
is.
So if you don't have the special credential, then it's 90-day limit.
Every 90
they
days.
They just don't want overexposure from whomever coming in and
that's right.
visiting the inmates yes. very often.
That's right.
It's suspicious.
Yep. So what happened was I was the intern, and then I went off to pastor elsewhere, and I was gone for 6 years. In that time, Covenant OPC added a few more members, and they have about 10 who are within the IDOC, the Illinois Department of Corrections, and so these are the same as the three that were there when I was an intern. The session comes to them, meets with them, and walks them through the membership vows, the same membership vows that we're used to. When the session was in, they would make sure to have a worship service, a formal worship service on the third and fifth Saturdays of the month. And so they did that, and they continued that over 6 years while I happened to be gone. I was, like I said, pastoring elsewhere. Then one of those laymen died, and then one just retired a couple of months ago.
Moved away.
Retired and moved away. So that caused the session to say, what do we need to do? What would your spiritual health be like if you only saw your pastor every 90 days?
Right.
And that's a 90 days if there's no lockdown, which means if there's a fight, if there's some sort of...
So it might be 180 days.
Might be 120.
270 if there's two.
Might,
yeah,
you'd you'd go by 30, so it'd be 120. If, I suppose you could, you'd do it within a month.
I agree, though. But still,
So all that to say, they said, well, can we really shepherd them from afar like that? I mean, remember, they were still sending in resources. When I was an intern, they were sending in 80 tapes of morning and evening worship services.
Wow.
And they were tapes that were glued together.
Right, because for safety reasons,
they can't be screwed. They have to be glued.
I heard, just to get too far afield, but I think there was a Radiolab episode. We've talked about that podcast before on previous episodes. It's fascinating. If it wasn't Radiolab, it might have been 99% Invisible. But there's this burgeoning, I think one tape manufacturing plant left in the U.S., And the question is, why does anyone want cassette tape? Like, not even the hipsters necessarily want cassette tapes per se. Prisons.
Maybe we were keeping.
No, keeping it's yeah. exactly right. Yeah. No, that was the conclusion. It was because the prisons need to have, like, they want audio materials.
Yeah.
And you can't give them CDs because they can turn those into.
Daggers. Yeah. They break them.
Shiv.
Yep.
And what are you going to put in vinyl? Same thing, right?
Yeah.
So what's a typical day look like for an inmate then?
Oh.
So we get an idea of what's going on inside so that we can maybe better understand how the church is seeking to meet their needs.
Very good. Depending on where you are, there are some that spend maybe 20 hours within their cell.
Okay.
It's a very small cell with two beds, one's a bunk, and a toilet, sink. Some of the blessed ones, or maybe they call themselves lucky, have a small writing desk.
Huh.
Everything that they own must fit into two property boxes in case they have to move. They need to be able to just put those things in and take them away
to another.
What are they
allowed
to own? They have books. They have other pairs mm-hmm. of clothes. They have
really
writing materials. They spend a lot of time writing letters and receiving letters and such. So I think breakfast comes early in the morning, like 3-4 in the morning or so. And I'm not sure. I'm still figuring these things out myself. It's bizarre. I've asked, but they just start early. So it comes in a styrofoam container.
To the cell.
Yeah. And, it's not pleasant. It's not good. One told me just a week ago, he said, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets congealed oatmeal and just vile substances like that. It's
loaves
pretty disgusting.
Of various origins.
Yes, lots of mystery meat. Mm. It's not pleasant, but they have classes that they go to.
Yeah.
They have time on the yard where they're able to get a little bit of sunshine. There are colleges, universities, and cults and false religions that teach classes there. Mm-hmm. So they get out for an hour or a couple of hours, and they get to go to, a Roman Catholic priest teaching on religion, or universities and colleges teach math and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They might teach math, but it's really a disguise. It's actually like personal finance, things like that, but somewhat disguised as a math class. That's the way it's described to me, at least.
Hmm.
But they get time in the gym. They go play basketball and those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not allowed to roam free as you'd like.
Yeah, it's prison.
Yeah, and it's maximum security.
It's maximum security.
So when it's time to be in your cell, you've got to get in.
Yeah.
And if there's a fight, like I said, if anything happens, the whole place is locked down.
Yeah.
Everybody's punished. And you can spend sometimes they've had summers on lockdown where everybody's locked in to their cell. Dinner, breakfast, lunch, dinner are all given to them in the cell, in styrofoam.
That's that.
Yeah.
What access do the inmates have to various forms of media, whether that be video, television, books, audio?
They have access.
Internet.
Yeah. No internet.
That's what I figured.
They have a TV in their cell.
Really?
Yeah. And they also have radio. They're radios that are clear, so you cannot hide anything inside of them.
Oh,
you can look inside and see all the wires and everything within. It's really interesting.
What's on the television?
I haven't surfed the channels. But,
I know. I'm just curious.
They appear to be watching a lot of the things that people on the outside are watching.
Yeah.
I've been told that in prison, there are two ways to do it. You can be a monk and read and study and, seek to use the hours wisely,
mm-hmm.
as a Christian would hopefully seek to do, or
mm-hmm.
or you can whittle away the hours and waste
them. Waste
them
just like you can just elsewhere.
Yeah, I think they probably go by just as fast if you're wasting it.
Wow.
As on the outside. So.
So that being the case, then, you know, how does the church seek to minister? And specifically, I suppose, what roles or what functions do you perform in your call? I imagine you have to do a wide range of things.
I do. What can the church do? Well, the church has a hard time doing things, just in general. In a prison, and that's why parachurch ministries are stronger. There are a lot of parachurch ministries inside. But a parachurch ministry doesn't have the authority to do the same things that a church does.
Mm-hmm.
So my role as a minister in the prison actually gives me an advantage over a parachurch group,
mm-hmm.
because I can bring the Lord's Supper. I can proclaim the gospel. I can baptize. I can do those things which a parachurch ministry mm-hmm. cannot or certainly should not.
Yeah. That's when it becomes a quasi-church, right, Craig?
It does, yeah.
That's
so
no good.
To get in, for the church to get in, what we do is we schedule the elders to come, and we try to do it every 90 days. There are lots of obstacles to getting them in. Just a couple weeks ago, it was the third Saturday, and I brought the session in, and I was going to preach, and the elders were going to be there, but they were turned away at the door because the paperwork was not in. I had sent in the request for the paperwork, I think it was 4 weeks ahead of time, which is enough time, but people within a prison dealing with a bureaucracy, they're swamped by admin. So you can imagine a lot of things fall off the front of the oven. They're not even in the back burner. They just fall off. So
you don't make it to the oven sometimes.
So I think you asked, what do I do?
Yeah, what kind of roles do you play? Or not play, that's a bad way to put it. What functions do you serve, you know, practically speaking? We know you're a minister. We know what ministers do and what they have authority to do, what they're called to do. But, I mean, what does that look like maybe in some greater detail with this application?
Well, I consider myself very blessed because I get to do, it seems to me, all the things that ministers like to do and want to do. I wear many hats, so I'm pastor or minister to those men who are Covenant OPC members. But it also does feel like a missionary in a sense. Like I've said in other contexts, that I, you know, I don't cross an ocean to get to my mission field. I get I drive across town. It's a half hour, but I'm locked into another place. It's another world. It's like a city unto itself. And so there are many lost people dealing with cults and false religions, and I'm in there constantly defending Protestantism, defending Orthodox mm-hmm. Christianity against the cults and the false religions that are in there.
Well,
so I'm an apologist. I'm an apologist and a counselor, pastor, all those things. So what it looks like is,
I mean, how much interaction do you have with people that are not members of the church? I mean, you go in there and just go out in the yard and you're just talking to
constant
inmates?
Yeah. It's a really interesting environment.
You're just in there
by
as a
walking
visitor,
in.
But you're
people call me over
you're
by
kidding.
Walking the cells. People, hey, who are you? And
really?
let me talk to you. And
I'm a minister of the gospel.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm in for.
I mean,
that's what you're in for.
That's right.
So, Brett, the question I have is, and I think probably a lot of us, just the logistics, the visual of this. So you're walking up and down the hallways with cells on one side, open wall on another side, nothing to one. You're walking down, someone says, hey, what are you doing here? And you just sort of go over, this is what I'm about. And they say, I don't care, get out of here. You walk on to the next one, and someone has a few more questions. You do the same thing. Just, I mean, that's cell-to-cell ministry, essentially.
Yep.
But or you just also, in the rec center or whatever, right?
You have the freedom to go into a rec center or go in the yard without any concern for your safety?
I don't go into the yard.
Okay.
it's blocked off by fences, but okay. there are clearly delineated paths of mm-hmm. where I can go and where I can't.
Okay.
So the way it looks is, I probably should back up and just tell in general what I do, and then I can probably make a better picture for it. So worship service is on the third and fifth Saturday,
yeah.
okay? And we have a worship service in which we sing from the Red Trinity Hymnal a cappella. I do all the normal things that we would do in a worship service, hands raised, greeting, benediction at the end, a pastoral prayer. I read, I preach, I serve the Lord's Supper. We'll get to that.
Where? Maybe. Where would you do this?
This would be in the gym.
Okay.
In the gym, in a room above the gym. And they have rooms above. An upper room. Yes, it's an upper room above the gym.
How many guys typically?
15.
Okay.
If they all show up, then 15. There can only be 15 at a time.
So you got an interesting thing here, because if somebody's missing, it's like,
it's very easy to
tell.
You
either got
yes.
transferred, yes. or you're really ill.
Exactly.
Or, what are you doing to yourself?
Can yes. any other people come, or is it just 15 max per?
They have to be set on a list. They have to be on the list. Because what happens for that worship service is I go into the room and I get there, say, an hour beforehand. I let the guards know at the front desk that the administrator for, we call it the Reformed Bible Study. It's really more of a Reformed worship service. But the Reformed Bible Study administrator is here. And then they get on a microphone or a walkie-talkie, and then they tell all the guards, and they have a list of who would be on that. So they then go get them out of their cells, and then they bring them to the worship service. They don't
Doesn't
have
matter?
To come. No, they can. They can reject it and say, "No, I don't feel like it today." Okay. Or,
how do they get on the list? Do they just ask if they want to? And
they have to request it.
Request it,
and the chaplain puts them on, and he's free to exclude people from the list if he wants. They have to be registered as Christian first, and then he will put them on if he thinks they're a good fit.
So the bureaucracy of it in the Statesville has a sense that there's a chaplain administrator over them as well that can sort of it be a in between, a go between you and
yes.
the members of Covenant that who's not related to the church in any official way.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, there are three chaplains. And they deal with all of the administrative issues having to do with all of the religious activities, be they Jehovah's Witness, Apostolic, or the Modalists, Islam, all the parachurch ministries and everything like that. So, so that's one thing I do, worship service, third and fifth Saturdays. It's third and fifth Saturdays because that's what they've given us. If they would give us first, third, and fifth Saturdays, that would be great. Or if they would give us one Lord's Day a month or more, that would be great. But we take what we're given. Mm-hmm. I also am seeking to evangelize. So I do seek to get to as many of the cells as I can. And I bring along with me Table Talk or other Reformed literature. And I just seek to talk to people, engage them. Some are happy to talk. Some are happy to have any visitor at all. And some don't, and that's fine. So I don't want to compel anyone. And then the other thing I do is I'm teaching a class on Tuesdays and Saturdays. I'm teaching a seminary class with Divine Hope Reformed Bible Seminary. And that has enough administrative parts to it as well that there are things, materials that I need to bring to the students. So oftentimes someone will stop me when I'm on the way to a particular inmate's cell to bring him papers or books or something like that for the seminary. And someone says, "Hey, come over here, you know, who are you?" And so it's really good opportunity to talk to people all the time. It seems to me kind of analogous to remember the discussion during the Nicene controversy, the Arian and Athanasian where they said that at the market, people would say, well, how much for this loaf of bread? And they'd say, you know, whatever monetary, however many shekels, and Christ is not the eternal Son of God. And they'd say, well, here's the money for that. I'll take that piece of bread. And he is the eternal Son of God. That's what, I mean, that it was so common to have theological dispute. It's almost like that to me, because people, there are Muslims there, Jehovah's Witnesses, apostolic or modalists or, you know, Patrick Passionists, they are there. There are all sorts of other groups that are there, Black Hebrew Israelites, and a lot of guys I run into are into the sacred name theology. So they find a little bit of offense when you talk about God or Jesus. They want to say Yahweh and they want to say Yeshua. So I've got that to deal with, and seeking to shut that down and show it that it is unbiblical. So it's really interesting. So that I would say then on Tuesdays we teach a class. Tuesday, 3-hour class. It's almost that long on Saturdays, and it's with the seminary. And right now I'm teaching a class on Shorter Catechism 1 through 38, and two sections of that. One is on in that gym presently, and it's hot. You know, it's not too nice. The aesthetics aren't up to where you'd want most universities and seminaries, but that's fine. So that's what it is on Tuesday, and then Saturday as well. I'm doing it on the days in which we don't have our Reformed Bible study or our Reformed worship. We have that class as well, and so that's how that goes. And then obviously there are many opportunities to talk with men who are dealing with depression, sadness, dealing with things going on in their lives. And so there are plenty of opportunities to open the Word of God and to listen to them and provide counsel and to seek to bless them and encourage them.
Why does Divine Hope Seminary get 3 hours, what, on Tuesdays and Saturdays? I'm curious about the distribution of time and opportunities. Is it because they've been around longer? Or is it because they're an educational institution? You know, you have as a for worship set aside the third and the fifth Saturdays. But, you know, do you have to wait for other organizations to drop off and quit before you could maybe expand? I mean, I'm wondering, how does that work? Is it just at the whim of the administrator?
Yeah, it's up to the school building working alongside of the chaplain and what they have available. I mean, there are men in there getting GEDs and such. So they have to make do with the amount of time and the amount of space that they have. And those are space in a place like a prison is a limited resource. So they've got to make the best use of what they have.
How long do you typically spend, let's say, on a given day? I'm just trying. Yeah, part of it's just logistics. When you say you're going from cell to cell, or you know, some people you might talk for 2 or 3 hours, be my guess. Some people 30 seconds.
Yeah.
What is? Are there other set things you need to do, or are you just kind of given free rein for the whole day, just to kind of?
I'm free to come and go as I please.
Okay.
I can do what I want, do what I need. I try to prioritize, obviously, those who are members of Covenant OPC. I try to get to them at least once a week. Yeah. And then aside from that, I try to prioritize those who are regular or somewhat regular attenders of the Reformed Worship Service on Saturdays. And then obviously with Divine Hope Seminary, I have things to do. And so I've got to get things to them and make sure that they're keeping up and, mm-hmm. and such. So that has its duties that go along with it. So it seems as though things are laid out enough by the administrative things that I know I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I am able to go in. Visitors can come in at 7:30, and they need to be gone at 2:30. Mm-hmm. So anytime within 7:30 to 2:30, I'm able to go in and do what I need. Mm-hmm. But I've got to be out before then.
By 2:30. Okay, right. That was kind of my idea. Was I didn't know if you're there till like 10 o'clock at night or things like that. I didn't.
No.
Right. You've mentioned Divine Hope and the ministry you've done there. You do there in a classroom setting, teaching. And the worship services and going in to visit at least the members once a week. Are you free to bring a book for each of the members, say, and them to have it, and then you're reading it together, so to speak, and then you sort of like talk with them at their cell about the book for spiritual encouragement or things of that nature? Is that something that you're able to do? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I could do that. Mm-hmm. I haven't presently done that. I mean, just this might be of interest to some. I mean, I can't just walk in with a book. Everything that I come in with has to be approved beforehand. Okay. So it can take a while to get that.
So by that, they're approving the content?
No, they're approving that it doesn't have weapons hidden in it.
Okay, so it's a safety check. Like
that. Safety Andy check. Dufresne with Exodus and the little. Yeah.
It's just for making chess pieces.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I can I have to have it set up ahead of time.
I see.
What I do to get around that, mm-hmm. not to sneak around it, but it's just easier, is I actually mail things to myself.
Oh.
So I go to the post office.
Are you disclosing some sort of secret?
No secrets here. I mail it into the chaplain's office, and then it's there for me in a day or two.
Yeah.
So we get 50 copies of Table Talk into the prison.
Yeah.
That's sent there.
Wow.
When I got the textbooks for the class with Divine Hope Seminary, I received them and immediately mailed them to myself in the prison so that they would be waiting for me once I enter into the chaplain's office. And then I needed to get them to them. So then I went to each and every cell delivering their textbooks. So hand-delivered textbooks.
What can mail-in do for you is basically what it is. You mentioned some significant counseling that you do. No doubt that's a good chunk of your ministry. And you have a great opportunity to meet people in their cells and speak to them and help them to understand the truth of the gospel and how that applies to their daily needs. I imagine that many of these men are not, I take it this is all men. There are no
women. It's all men, yes.
Yeah. I take it that many of these men are not necessarily local just by the nature of the prison system and stuff like that. But have you ever had any opportunities, or do you ever seek opportunities perhaps to minister to the families of those locked up, or who knows, maybe even victims? Is there any way in which your ministry within the prison has transcended the, not just spiritually, but actually transcended the walls of the prison and reached out to people connected to those inmates, but those that are not incarcerated?
Some ways. I do have to be careful because dealing with a prison and with bureaucracy, there are all sorts of ways to do good things that you find out later that you transgressed some
statute or
and you didn't know it. I mean, for example,
you don't want to be seen as some sort of a conduit between inmates and people.
Yes,
like some sort of conspirator or something like that.
So you have to be very careful. I know of a ministry that sought to help a man and a number of prisoners in a prison, and then a man got released, and a pastor was waiting for him at the doors when he was released to take him to his mother's house, or I'm not sure where he was going to take him, and it's immaterial. But whatever the case, because he was there, he had his ministry to the prison shut down for doing that because it transgressed some rule or some law that he didn't even know existed. So then his ministry was lost as a result of that. So I have to be very careful. But I have had one just about 2 weeks ago, he asked me, is there an Orthodox Presbyterian church in City X. Mm-hmm. And I said, actually, there is. Let me get you the address. So he'd like to send his family there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I have seen things like that. Pastor Ian, he was seeking to minister to them, you know, before I came, and he was working tirelessly for the men as he was able and as he had time, and he did a wonderful job. But he did help some of the families in some ways. Don't think he transgressed any of those rules. But there is an opportunity. I still need to find out what ways I'm able to do
and
which ways wise. I'm not. And I've only been at it for a short time, and I'm.
Well, I think all of these particularities and these specific challenges just go to demonstrate the importance of a call such as yours, that we're called to present every man, every person mature in Christ. That doesn't say, you know, only those members that are convenient for you to access. And we recognize that churches have limitations with time and resources, and it's not possible or practical for us to do the kinds of things that you're doing. But it demonstrates that where we have opportunity to call a man and to provide for him so that he's not bound down with worldly care, that he can go in and minister to 12 people now? How many did you say that are members?
Well, I should qualify. Yeah, it's 10. However, I came and my family came to Orland Park with the intention of ministering to all of the men who are who are members of Covenant OPC, who are within the Illinois Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
And then I was looking forward to taking that off of Pastor Ian's hands.
Uh-huh.
And then it wasn't until after we came that we found out that my having a program at Stateville keeps me from being able to meet individually with those who have been transferred out.
Oh.
So we have 4 members at Stateville, and we have six elsewhere.
Oh.
And so my thought was, I'll focus on Stateville.
I see.
And then whatever, once a month or once every 2 months or so, I would go and see those who are in other prisons within Illinois. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that I'm not able to do that, so I have to focus on Stateville only. And Pastor Ian is able and willing to go to those who, some of them are many hours away.
Mm. My goodness. Regardless, there's a need and there's an important opportunity for men to be called specifically to creative calls, things we haven't thought of before, but there are ways in which Christ provides for his people. And this is a really important opportunity.
He does. I might add, though, I look at it as a ministry of Covenant OPC.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at it as simply my thing or something like that. And I think Covenant sees it that way as well. I mean, Covenant OPC has a board with pictures of all of the members. And those who are members within the prison system have their mugshot there on the wall.
Literally
as well.
The mugshot?
That's best you can get. and so it's some picture that, you'd see.
Yeah.
They've got a blue screen behind them and everything. The members of Covenant OPC are awesome in a number of ways, but particularly, I mean, some of them have pen pals in the men who are in the prison. And so they write, and these men in the prison write back, and they have really amazing correspondence. Mm. And the letters that they get from the prisoners are really... They have that apostolic feel. They start off with a long paragraph saying, grace to you and peace in a long, flowing sentence.
Yeah.
It's really neat. Children send in pictures that they've drawn or things on coloring books with crayons, and those really touch the heart of these men. I mean, some of them are there, and they will say, "Yeah, I did it." And there are others who will say, "No, I didn't do it," and they may not have. And there are some who are there who were hanging out with the wrong guys, and you came with a group to a party, and someone committed some crime or some murder. Well, you came with them, and you were put in jail as a conspirator because there's no evidence that you weren't. You know, so not all of them are guilty of murder. Some are repentant, convicted murderers, and some are say, you know, I was being a stupid teenager or a foolish young man, and this is where I am. Mm-hmm. So these men need that sort of encouragement, whether they were with the wrong crowd 2 or 3 decades ago, or whether they are our brothers who have committed the sort of crimes that, you know, David would have or did, or the Apostle Paul before his conversion.
Yeah.
So it's really a blessing to see what Covenant OPC has done. I mean, I see the letters come in. They don't send letters to the individual houses. That's a big no-no. So all letters that the inmates send are sent to the church, and then they're just placed in the church member's mailbox within the church.
Huh.
And so I don't open those. Obviously, they're not my mail, but I see people are writing to people within, and it's a huge encouragement to those men. So if someone needs a pen pal, I can hook you up.
I was going to ask, I mean, what are some ways people can support the ministry? That's one way.
Yes, you can write them, and you can, if you want a chess partner as well, a really slow chess game.
Chess by mail?
you can do that. And there's one who's particularly good, and I'll stand behind that, and I'll advocate for him. In addition to that, obviously, please pray. That's huge. Additionally, you can come in. I'm restricting it to men for obvious reasons. But if you're in the area and you let me know ahead of time enough, and you can pass a background check, I'd love to take you in a third or fifth Saturday. Maybe if you want, once we're a little further down the road, if any of you want to give a guest lecture or something like that, I could bring you in during class time. That would be excellent. I would say, I mean, we are, the ministry is funded by, Covenant OPC. It's also helped out by, checks or the denomination. Checks or the
Committee
Presbytery,
on Church Extension,
but it's also
Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension.
So it's supported by that a little bit as well, but obviously there's still some need. So if someone does desire, they could certainly send to Covenant OPC to the deacons and let us know that it is particularly for Stateville, and that would be able to that would help to. Make sure that the ministry can be sustained, because obviously there's a need there.
Yeah.
So,
I believe Divine Hope Seminary has a newsletter as well. We receive that up at the church and get a handful of copies every, I think it's 90 days, 3 months or so. I don't know when it comes out at regular intervals.
Yes.
So I'm sure you can find out information about that online and request further information from the seminary.
Yes. You can support the seminary in those sorts of ways too. Mm-hmm. You can pray for them, can financially support them. You may be able to go into the other prisons where the seminary is present. The primary ones, Danville in Danville, Illinois, and also the Indiana State Prison in Michigan City, Indiana. So there are lots of opportunities there. To help them. I think it's an awesome ministry to teach men who may not have received the things that we receive in a church, learning Bible and church history at the level that a lot of us do in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And some are covenant children learning these things, church history and theology and Bible and everything.
Mm.
We're seeking to give that to them. Of course, they have a syllabus and GPAs and tests and things to write and that sort of thing. But it's an awesome opportunity to help give them what we all need, God and God's word.
Mm. Well, we'll have links to all the important resources in our episode description so people could follow up. Brett, thanks so much for your work, but thanks so much for taking the time today to tell us about it.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. We'll talk soon. I'm sure we got a lot. You've got a lot up your sleeve. We can talk more about it down the road. I do want to point people to the website, reformedforum.org. There you'll find information about our programs, as well as how to get in touch with us. One easy way is through email, mail@reformedforum.org. And I would encourage you to follow up, learn about Stateville, the mission to Stateville Prison, and Covenant OPC in Woodland Park, Illinois. I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.